Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Power Hour. It's Tuesday, the 7th of September, 2021. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, host of Late Night in the Heartland. It's my honor and privilege to be your guest host today. If you want to find out anything about me, just go to jeffreydaugherty.com, and you can find out all that you need to know. It's always an honor and a privilege to be with this great Power Hour audience. And today is no different. And I do just want to remind you folks, there's a great Power Mall Labor Day sales event. When you make a purchase from now through the 12th, you get 10, 15, 20% off. Drop ship products are excluded. No code necessary. You can find it at the checkout. Shop the sale and help the good guys, because we're running out of good guys. We're in a world today where it seems like there's bad guys everywhere and they're closing in. Well, the Power Hour is some of the good guys. Support the good guys, and let's win this thing. I'm convinced that we can still do it. I say it all the time. People still think I'm crazy, that this world's going to be better than it's ever been, sooner than we can even imagine. But we've got to realize we're the last generation of real humans. We've got to unindoctrinate ourselves, and we got to get busy. So there you have it. Let's get to the news. Before we get to our great guest, Brian Stavely is going to be with us tonight, this afternoon. See, I'm always on at night. Brian Stavely is going to be with us to talk about 9/11 and to talk about it in ways that you may have never considered. So with that, Estonia plans a digital wallet, and the Netherlands are urged to upgrade their digital ID infrastructure. Kind of some crypto news. From Estonia's long-time-running national identity scheme to the Netherlands' foundational ID, Europe will soon be conducting much of its digital identity authentication and vaccination verification via an EU-wide shared app. Of course, that's the European Union. Estonia's national digital identity system, doesn't that just make you have chills when you say that? It has been established for many years. And now that the European Commission plans to bring in a European digital identity in the form of a mobile app, the country is well ahead and planning further. Under the new framework, ladies and gentlemen, proposed in June, national digital identities will be linked with digital wallets for ID authentication and personal attributes. For example, if Facebook wants age verification, the digital wallet should be enough to prove it. And part of this plan for the European digital decade is to reach 100% online provision of key public services and 80% uptake of digital ID solutions. Each EU country will develop a separate digital wallet app for its citizens, according to the Commission. And Estonians have had state-issued digital identities since 2002. And the country launched electronic vaccination passports in April, accelerated by the COVID-19 pandemic, if I may say that. According to Andreas Sutt, the Minister of Entrepreneurship and Information Technology, however, Europe is in need of more ambitious digitization products and projects to meet the expectations of European citizens and the needs of companies. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's all because they love their people so much. And the American regime loves us so much, so you know they're just trying to meet our expectations. And you know, if the American government was trying to meet our expectations, resignation might be a step in that direction. But I'll just be quiet and read the news. The UK Prime Minister breaks an election pledge to hike national insurance, blaming, of course, COVID, because why not? Boris Johnson has not received a haircut, but he has broken an election pledge to not increase taxes. Do you remember a few years ago, read my lips, no new taxes? Of course, that was President Bush the first. But Boris pledged not to increase taxes, and now he's announced that the national insurance contributions will rise by 1.25% from April 2022 to fund a reform of the country's ailing social sector. And to provide the necessary funding, ladies and gentlemen, the government is to increase national insurance contributions to ensure that from October 2023, no one will pay more than $118,000 and change for social care for those with assets less than $28,000. They'll have their care costs covered. To provide the necessary funding, the government is to increase these contributions. Can you imagine that? Folks, social medicine, I don't think we want it, but again, I'm just here to read the news. Vietnam sentences a gentleman to 5 years for supposedly spreading COVID, quote unquote. The BBC's reporting that a Vietnamese man has been sentenced to jail for 5 years for flouting the COVID-19 rules and spreading the virus. Did he refuse to wear the face diaper? Did he refuse to get the vaccine? Well, a court found Lee Von Tree guilty of transmitting dangerous infectious diseases to 8 people, one of whom eventually died. I wonder if Mr. Tree's lawyers were able to compel his accusers to show us an isolated part of the virus, to show us anything. Well, in early July, Mr. Tree, 28 years old, had reportedly traveled by motorcycle from Ho Chi Minh City to his home province, Ca Mau, in the south of the country. At Ca Mau, he was found to have lied on a health declaration form, which asked about his recent travel history, and he also failed to comply with isolation rules. Local authorities at the time had made it mandatory that anyone traveling from other provinces into Ca Mau had to immediately isolate themselves for 21 days. He later tested positive for COVID and was found to have transmitted the virus to members of his family as well as staff at a welfare center which he visited. He was sentenced to jail at the end of a one-day trial and was also fined the equivalent of $880. Unless we think that this is just something that happens in Vietnam, remember New York City, San Francisco, L.A., many of the same things are happening within the United States. It's time for us, ladies and gentlemen, to wake up. It's time for us to stand together. This is getting truly serious. And in other news from Russian Times, the Taliban has announced formation of a new government, including some ministers that are wanted by the United States. The Taliban has begun to fill government positions following its successful conquest of Afghanistan. Some of the names, however, are wanted by U.S. authorities. Some of them even have multi-million dollar bounties on their heads. Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhund, a co-founder and head of the Taliban's leadership council, was named the acting prime minister of Afghanistan on Tuesday, with other senior Taliban leaders approving his nomination. Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, considered the militant group's de facto leader, was named deputy prime minister, according to a Taliban spokesman. So people that are on the U.S. wanted list are now heads of state in Afghanistan. I'm guessing that could tend to complicate diplomatic relations between the two countries, which could be further complicated by reports that they're actually holding American citizens, not allowing them to leave the country. And, of course, it's being tied to ransom-type demands. And here's a real surprise after what's been happening over the past months and years. The city of Seattle, which the NHL is welcoming as a new team, by the way, the Seattle Kraken, but Seattle could lose over 200 cops due to the COVID vaccine mandate, a report says. This is actually good news, folks. Over 200 Seattle police officers, Fox is reporting, could lose their jobs over the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate because they've either not accepted the jab or would refuse to hand over their private medical data, according to a report Monday. Now, it's not good news that these officers are going to lose their job, but I can't help feeling positive that some of these officers, 200 of them, are going to stand firm. They're going to stand strong, and they're not going to receive it, and they're not going to give their private medical data. Of course, you can wax conspiratorial and say, is this part of a plan to defund the police? Is this part of a plan to get rid of the police, make them do things they don't want to do? And will we see this rolled out across other cities in the United States? The Jason Rant Show on the city's KTTH said the number represents about 20% of the department's deployable staff. The department and mayor, Jerry A. Durkin's office, did not immediately respond to after-hour emails from Fox News. So if you're in Seattle, you've just lost about 20% or will soon of your cops on the beat. Gentlemen, ladies, I salute you for standing strong, and let's send positive prayers and intention towards Seattle as things are sure to heat up. And World News Daily is reporting that a Las Vegas mother's furious, enraged, after learning that a teacher taped a face mask to her child's face. This was in Las Vegas. And this mom is understandably furious. She's learning that a substitute fourth grade teacher humiliated her 9-year-old son by taping a mask to his face in front of the classroom as other students laughed. This shocking incident unfolded at Reedham Elementary School in Mountains Edge, Nevada, the mother reported to KVVU-TV. It's the latest example of the callous authoritarianism that's festering at public schools under the guise of enforcing coronavirus restrictions. And if you recall, Project Veritas outed a teacher in Sacramento, California's Natomas School District for openly trying to advocate communism and saying he had 180 days to turn his students into radicals. Due to the great work by Project Veritas, he has now been put on paid leave pending dismissal. It might be time to take that same idea to the Reedham Elementary School in Mountains Edge, Nevada. The mother did speak on condition of anonymity to the outlet in order to protect her son's identity and prevent him from further traumatization. He went to get a sip of water, and he forgot to put his mask on, she said. The teacher did not tell him to put it back on. The teacher did not send him to the office. She instead pulled him up in front of the classroom, in front of all the students, and then she taped the mask across the top of his face. The mother said the substitute teacher added a second layer of tape from her son's nose to his forehead. She wants the instructor fired for child abuse. And when her son recounted the incident, the mother was horrified to learn that taping masks to children's faces has been happening in this classroom since the beginning of the school year. I wonder if Southwest Airlines and other airlines that are throwing families off of flights because infants, toddlers won't keep face masks on, I wonder if they're investing in tape, probably duct tape. And are they going to put this on their clients, their customers' children's face? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for us to stand up and stand strong. Thanks to this mom in Las Vegas who is not backing down. And now, a top scientist, Breitbart reports, is claiming shock that Anthony Fauci has been, quote, untruthful about Chinese lab research. Say it isn't so. The U.S. government contributed funding to controversial gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, a report alleged Monday. You'll remember Senator Rand Paul grilling Mr. Fauci, the pocket doc, about these same allegations. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and the chief medical advisor to Joe Biden, has previously denied the National Institute of Health has ever funded such research. The Intercept reported 900 new pages of previously undisclosed information from the NIH, which the Intercept obtained through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that the EcoHealth Alliance used federal grant money to fund dangerous coronavirus research at the Chinese labs. The incident reported that the grant proposal acknowledges none of these dangers, but fieldwork involves the highest risk of exposure to SARS or the COVs working in caves with bat density overhead and potential for fecal dust to be inhaled. They provided this alliance $3.1 million, including up to $600,000 from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Wow. Abright concluded by accusing Fauci and the NIH director Francis Collins of being untruthful in their previous remarks on the matter. The documents make it clear that assertions by the NIH director Francis Collins and the NIAID director Anthony Fauci that the NIH did not support gain-of-function research or potential pandemic pathogen enhancement at the Wuhan lab are untruthful. The evidence continues to mount against Anthony Fauci and against the Biden administration. Now, folks, if there wasn't enough to worry about, if there wasn't enough to be concerned about, major U.S. cities are now becoming fentanyl-infested cesspools as millions plunge into hopelessness and despair. If you live near a major U.S. city, you don't have to go to a movie theater to see a horror show. San Francisco, Sacramento, New York City, just to name a few, Seattle, Portland. Instead, just find out where fentanyl-laced heroin is being sold and go hang out with the drug addicts for a few hours. I was just shown a photo, actually a video, of a city street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the home of American democracy, so-called. And it literally looked like a scene from The Walking Dead. People stumbling, people bent over in crazy positions, and acting like they were indeed zombies, acting like they were zombies. If you survive the encounter of looking at these people, it will be an experience that you will never forget. I'll never forget that video. In city after city, hopelessly addicted men and women wander the streets of our core urban areas like zombies. Exactly. Unfortunately, many of them won't last very long because it is exceptionally easy to die from a fentanyl overdose. Maybe they aren't designed to last very long. And as you'll see, drug overdose deaths in the United States were up 30% over the last year. And fentanyl is one of the main reasons. Do you think it's possible that suicides are up 30% because of, say, lockdowns? Because of, say, social distancing, because of, say, the loss of human contact through wearing the face diapers? Certainly fentanyl is a huge problem, and combined with all of these other issues, well, we are where we are, and maybe it's time we say enough is enough. Earlier today, this same writer came across the same video that I saw from the streets of Philadelphia, and it really struck a chord with this writer emotionally and with me as well. Philadelphia played such a critical role in the American Revolution, and I know this audience is filled with great patriots that love our country. And Philly was once a beautiful city. I spent some considerable time myself in the city of brotherly love. And of course, Philadelphia is one of the churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. So Philadelphia has had a critical role in America. Some would say the city of brotherly love has a critical role biblically, but the video clearly shows that it has now become a complete and utter hellhole. How can city officials just stand aside and do nothing as this goes on day after day? If you know anything about Philadelphia, there's a statue of William Penn. And the law used to be you couldn't build a building higher than William Penn. That's long since passed. But I wonder how William Penn feels as he looks down upon the streets of the once great, once beautiful city of Philadelphia and sees these people wandering like zombies. What would Rocky Balboa think? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that he wouldn't be happy. He couldn't run through Philly anymore and have people come after him. Well, they might come after him, but it'd be for a different reason. Down on Kensington Avenue, you can buy a bag of fentanyl-laced heroin for as little as $5. $5. In the Kensington section of Philadelphia, where anyone can buy this lethal dose for $5 a bag, has been known as ground zero of America's opioid epidemic. What's happening in Philly? It's happening across the country. Time for us to stand up and stop it. We'll be back with our great guest, Brian Stavely, right after these messages.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Caps, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com. Text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Well, welcome back to the Power Hour. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, host of Late Night in the Heartland, and it's my honor and privilege to be your guest host here today. And don't forget about the great Labor Day sale on the Power Mall. When you make a purchase between now and the 12th, you can get either 10% off, 15% off, or even a full 20% off when you spend $200 or more. The dropship products are excluded, and no code is necessary. The discount automatically applies at checkout. They're making it very easy to shop, support, and do business with the good guys. And speaking of good guys, or in this case, good girls, ladies, women, I received an email from the great producer of this program, Catherine. And she says, thank you for being a guest host a while back. I was wondering if you could do it again. Of course, I said, absolutely. It'd be my honor and privilege. And then she asked me, do you know anybody that can talk about 9/11? And boy, do I know somebody that can talk about 9/11. My mind immediately went to a man that I've recently, over the past few months, become acquainted with. His name is Brian Stavely. And I consider him one of the leading experts on the 9/11 event and also on the Mandela effect, and sometimes the two cross over, which maybe Brian will talk about. But one of the things I like about Brian's work is that he approaches the 9/11 event with absolutely no preconceived notions. He approaches the 9/11 event with absolutely no pre-existing conclusions. In other words, he approaches it like an independent, he approaches it like an empirical, he approaches it like a true scholar and a true investigative reporter. And today, for the rest of the program, we are going to pick the brain of Brian Stavely about September 11th. You're going to hear some things that you've never heard before. You'll hear some things that might initially anger you. And this calls you to be a true investigator. This calls you to be a true listener. This calls you to open your minds, set aside your previously engendered paradigms. And remember, Mark Twain said that whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to stop and reconsider. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Brian Stavely. Brian, I appreciate your disciplined approach on this subject, and I'd like to hand the ball to you and let you take off and tell us what you know, what you've learned, and what you suspect about the great event, 9/11. Brian Stavely, welcome to the Power Hour.
Hey, Jeff, man. Thanks for having me on, brother. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Brian, and it's always great to hear from you. You absolutely killed it on our show. I'm looking forward to the great Power Hour audience being able to learn and have some new things to consider about arguably one of the greatest or most infamous events ever in world history. So, Brian, take it from here and let's talk about 9/11.
Sure. Sure. I guess I'll just start all the way at the beginning. And I know we have a little less time, obviously, than we did on your other show. So I'll kind of speak through the beginning part. You know, I didn't start to look into these type of matters, you know, that, you know, government conspiracies or whatnot, or maybe the media is lying about a whole lot of things. Never really thought about it until 2010 when I first looked at this. So what had basically happened is I had stumbled across a movie on Netflix that was called World Trade Center with Nicolas Cage in it. And I should just back up a second. I believed everything about 9/11 to start with. I mean, I believed the whole story pretty much. Didn't even really seem that fishy to me. I just bought it. I bought into all the fear. And, I mean, I even watched guys like Bill O'Reilly and people like that, you know, a few years after 9/11. Like, I thought these people were great. So, obviously, you'll hear that we've come a long way from that. But in 2010, I came on Netflix. I found a movie called World Trade Center. I thought I'd watch it, see what happened. And when I watched the movie, now, let me just state this. I'm not recommending anybody watch this movie. This is a propaganda film. But we all go through these steps. You know, you have to go through a lot of disinformation when you're looking in anything, especially in the early phases of it. When you're at the service level of it, that's when you really get hit with a lot of disinformation. So I had
you know,
the
Brian,
now, the
propaganda
movie,
film yeah. might be a little redundant, but we get what you mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, things that are kind of they're put out there to make it look like they're giving you an alternative spin from what the media is and an alternative view. But really what they're doing is they're sending you down another rabbit trail that is not true. But we'll get to that. So I watched the movie. What happened in the movie is they gave you a different view of 9/11. It showed explosions going off in the bottom of the towers before the planes hit. And then it got pretty dramatic with firefighters trapped in an elevator, Nicolas Cage being one of them. And this whole thing. So it's meant to really grab your emotions with that. But when I saw something like that, you know, because that contradicts the media. So the media is not saying there were bombs going off in the basement before there was a plane that hit. So that made me actually want to investigate this on my own, which, you know, a lot of people, they don't really do. They start to do it, but then they tend to just latch on to certain people or certain big channels. And that problem is a lot worse now than it used to be, actually, because everybody's been so centralized to Facebook and YouTube, trying to get somebody to go to a forum or somebody's independent site to research something. It's like pulling teeth now, you know? but back then, that's what I did. I dove all in. And going through the 9/11 journey, you know, there's a lot of things that people say they looked at 9/11, and they'll tell you 9/11's an inside job, and they'll talk about Tower 7. Well, I'm going to tell you why things like Tower 7 are actually, I guess you would call them honeypots or whatever. They're just rabbit trails that are meant to distract you. So when I dove in all into 9/11, I felt the urge to speak about it right away. So I started, you know, within a few months, I started doing, you know, radio shows, podcasts on my website. And I got really, really deep into it. But you know, as soon as I got into 9/11, I noticed there was a lot of people that don't want you looking at certain things, saying certain things. You get chastised for kind of going out of the main groups that are in the 9/11 truth movement, like the thermite guys or the directed energy weapon people. Or basically what I'm getting to is I started to notice you know, through the research on certain forums and whatnot, there was a lot of issues with the towers. Okay, there was a lot of issues with occupancy of the towers, a lot of issues with lack of footage that day. There's zero video of anybody coming out of the towers. And of course, you know, something that really I got into after a few months of 9/11, and I noticed that there was a lot of opposition to it, and that was the idea that the media was complicit in whatever had happened. And we'll get to what my conclusion is later on. But whatever had happened, I come to the conclusion pretty early on, late 2010, that there were no planes used in the attack on the towers. Now, that right there is probably going to trigger half the audience, you know. And that's okay. That's okay. But have you looked? Everything that I'm going to talk about today, I mean, we're going to go past there not being planes and the media being complicit. Have you actually looked at the footage of all the things that I'm telling you about? So when I started to talk about no planes in certain forums that I was in, immediately chastised. Almost any 9/11 group where you talk about the media being complicit and helping stage whatever had happened, you were immediately chastised. Now, Why do I think there were no planes? Well, first off, when you just look at the different 52 different angles of whatever, Flight 175, they are completely ridiculous. Many actually contradict each other as far as the trajectory, different colored planes, and more importantly, when you look at it and a plane goes halfway through a building and parts of the building aren't even breaking off or wings are disappearing in the footage off these planes, you're not looking at real footage. You're looking at computer-generated imagery, and I'm sorry, it was really easy to see, and it was really easy to see how much the opposition was against it. So when you start talking about this, you start to, your ears perk up, and you, because there weren't many of us, okay? So even in the 9/11 Truth Movement, we're chastised by just about everybody for saying, well, there were no planes used on 9/11. It's interesting, because it's okay to be a quote-unquote no-planer for Shanksville. It's even okay and kind of mainstream to say there was no plane that hit the Pentagon, but you say that no planes hit the towers, and the whole thing falls apart, because that's where everything starts to fall apart. If you don't have the thousands and thousands of deaths that they said you have, well, then people aren't going to be held down in fear forever over this event. So I noticed right away, because I was an Alex Jones fan at the time, definitely not now, just putting that out there, but I think we all go through these growing phases. I mean, I watched Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory show at the time, right? I bought all this crap. But all those are diversions from the real truth. That's how gatekeeping works. And that's what I realized what gatekeepers were, controlled opposition. And I started to see how Alex Jones would attack everybody that would talk about no planes. Not by, he wouldn't use their name, because he wouldn't want to promote anybody, but he would say, no plane, is that so crazy that he had to hurt the movement, blah, 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 blah. And that's like when another light bulb went off in my head, and I'm like, hold on. You know, this is 2010, right, maybe going into 2011, and it only took me a few months to realize that they didn't use any planes. This media footage is completely fake. How is it that this guy is the supposed leader of the 9/11 Truth Movement? That's what they prop him up as, at least when people start to wake up to the so-called conspiracy side of things. They put these people in place to bait you in with their flashy studios and their, I don't even want to say half-truths, because they're not even half-truths. They're here to scare you, and they're here to actually reinforce what the mainstream media says. Now, if the mainstream media, if the footage is fake of the planes hitting the towers, there's basically two options. It's kind of like the moon landing. And I don't want to go too far into lots of different conspiracies, but you guys look at the moon landing footage. It's a complete joke, okay? So but what they'll do is, if you get to that point where you see the moon landing footage and you see that it's a joke, they have other stories to back that up to make you think they still went to the moon. They will say things like, oh, well, they had to fake the footage because it's secret space mission or aliens scared them off the moon, all this crap. But in reality, the footage is fake because they didn't go. Okay, so we have fake footage of the planes hitting the towers, and once you get to that point, they'll try to come at you at these other angles that, oh, well, maybe they were holograms. You know, if you realize the video is fake, but that's another layer of gatekeeping that I noticed, because if it's a hologram, well, that keeps the media's credibility, because anybody with a camera actually saw something in the sky and filmed it. It's not their fault some military black op group put something, but that's not the case. It's computer-generated imagery.
Hey, Brian, let me ask you a quick question before we go forward. Do you think that this idea of, I call them faux enlightenments, layers and layers and layers, you think, you know, you realize that there's no planes, but then there's another deception. You realize that deception, there's another deception. Do you think that's unique to 9/11, or is that something that's pretty much built into
everything,
all of what we would call false flags?
It's built into all the lies. It's built into all the lies. There's always layers. Here's the thing. So when they pull off an Apollo or a 9/11 or what's going on right now, they don't think that everybody's going to buy it, and they don't try to cater it in a way that everybody's going to buy it. They try to cater it in a way that 50, 60, 70% of people are going to buy it. They know there's a whole bunch of other people that are going to buy it, aren't going to buy it. So what do they do? Like, say, for instance, right before 9/11, you have a whole bunch of people that are doubting the government or doubting the media, right? But they're not really, like, quote-unquote truthers yet. So what happens when 9/11 happens and then they wake up? Now you've got the entire truth movement running around talking about, well, the government did this and they hijacked planes, slammed them into towers and crushed thousands of people in broad daylight in New York City. And now when you look at it, the 20th anniversary is coming up. Who's actually more scared of what happened on 9/11? The normie that thinks 19 Arabs did it 20 years ago with box cutters and all this ridiculous crap? Or the truth is that think the government would just mass murder you by dropping buildings on your head. And I'm here to get people to lose the fear, because nothing could be farther from the truth. So, you know, it doesn't stop at no planes. So when the things that I'm going to say today, I hope people actually just consider, like, when you get triggered and say how crazy I am, just go and look. Ask yourself, have you done the research? Because when you start to dig more into the footage besides just the planes, first off, one of my favorite things to point out is 9/11. Thousands of people running out of the towers in a little bit over an hour's time from the time they were allegedly struck to the time that they collapsed, you know, like an hour, hour and a half, depends on which tower, you know, is a little different, but about that amount of time. So we have, you know, 52 alleged videos from home photographers, videographers of the second plane strike, Flight 175. You know that out of all those 52 videos, there's not one video of anybody panning down from the street to show the thousands of people running out. They just film a hole in the building, or they shut their camera off. Now, I'm telling you, the plane is fake anyways, so I won't even use those 52 alleged people, because I don't think those 52 alleged people exist. But they're doing street interviews, allegedly. Everything's allegedly. So they're doing street interviews with people like the Harley guy, you know, and I saw the plane hit the tower and I knew it was going to collapse, mostly due to structural failure, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, the guy's an obvious plant. Everybody knows that, okay? But the point is, they're doing these street interviews. They're supposedly getting this footage. There's not one video in existence, not one video in existence that shows the thousands of people coming out of the World Trade Center on 9/11. What they did do is they had closed one of the two major bridges out of New York that people use for foot traffic, so the other bridge would get more congested with people, and people assumed some of the aerial shots that they showed of those people, oh, these are people streaming out of New York, out of the World Trade Center, they escaped death or whatever. But you look at the footage, these people are carrying, like, shopping bags from Macy's and all this. These were people that were just in New York. Now, when you actually look at the occupancy of the towers, you know, there was a guy named Eric Darton. He wrote a book in 1998, or published it in 1998. I'll have to get you the name of it after, but you can find it if you search him. He wrote a book talking about the occupancy issues in the tower. The towers in 1998 were already down to only 20% occupancy. Now, a lot of people would be like, so what are you saying? Are you saying there wasn't anybody in the towers when it happened? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. There weren't people in the towers when it happened. They were already had been vacated. They used the 1993 attack, whatever that was, in the basement parking garage below where supposedly like six people died. They used that to scare the rest of the tenants out. Now, people would be like, okay, well, what about the people that did work there? Well, the occupancy was much lower than you think. Okay, there were real legitimate businesses there. Like, there are people that can show you receipts from going to the Windows of the World restaurant on top of the World Trade Center or the observation deck like the weekend before. They could show you those receipts. Those are legit. But what those people would do is they would go in the building. They would go in elevators. By the way, the main elevators skip the entire impact zone. Okay, and anybody that wants to check it out later, check out the show I did with Jeff, because we did some visuals, the other show we did before.
Brian, the elevators were actually not even in the elevator for those floors, right? You couldn't stop there if you wanted to.
Nope, there's not even access to those floors at all. And those floors, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, Marsh McLennan and Cantor Fitzgerald, just those two companies allegedly had 44% of the deaths in the World Trade Center. But besides that, every single person that they claim died in the World Trade Center died from those impact zones up. They all died in the floors that you can't even access. Besides that, when we were looking into the structural stuff of the building, there were some images that I was able to gain from a site called Lyra.com, who is the architectural firm that oversaw the construction of the World Trade Center. They had two shots up on their site where you could see clear through the towers. The buildings are already capped off. All the floors aren't filled in. Okay, one of them is from 1972, one's from 1978, where they had put a gray-type cladding up half the building to disguise it, but you could still see through, clear through, the impact zones, which allegedly Marsh McLennan, Cantor Fitzgerald, and others had already been occupying for a good 6 or 7 years. Now, they've since taken down one of those shots. I still have them both. One of them is actually still up on their site. So people could take
Ryan,
the elevator.
Let me just interject real quickly on that point. I hope that people will go and look up that video, because the footage is astounding. You can clearly see that there's nothing but the core structure in those towers as late as 1978. And I spent a lot of years working for Marriott. People know that hotel company. I worked in their timeshare division. And that is very, very common. I was shocked. You'd go up, open an elevator, and there's nothing there, because there's a lot of places that won't build out. They build the core. They build the core of the building. They build the outer structure, but they don't finish it out until it becomes occupied. In that case, they don't build it out until they actually sell those units. So what Brian Stabley is talking about here today, folks, it makes sense in the real world. And try to set aside your skepticism, and you might just learn something. Back to you, Brian Stabley.
So people could go to the roofs. They would take the elevators. They would skip over those empty impact zones. People would go up and down every day. Now, there's also a subway that was in the basement of the World Trade Center. Now, this subway is estimated to take 300,000 people a day in and through the Trade Center. And what would people on a Manhattan subway be dressed like? Well, they would be dressed like office workers that worked in the World Trade Center, and all that traffic in and out, nobody would ever know the difference, especially when people are actually going up to the restaurant and a couple other places in the towers. So what about the people that actually worked there? Did they get a warning, Brian? Were they told not to come into work the next day? Because these are the things that people will say, okay? No, they didn't have to get a warning. That's why the attack was so early. Now, picture this. You're watching 9/11 unfold. The second plane hits on TV, live, allegedly. It's fake footage, pre-cut, pre-recorded, chopped up to look like newscasts, slapped with live banners, and everybody buys it. Go back and look at that footage now. It looks like a Nintendo 64 game. But you watch the second plane hit at 8:46, and you're thinking, well, if the terrorists wanted to kill so many people, why wouldn't they wait another hour or two when the buildings are more full? Well, because that's the trick. The tourist attractions we spoke about did not open until 9:30, so you did not have to turn anybody suspiciously away that might show up at the towers because, well, there's a plane stuck in the building. And as far as other companies being occupied in there, they had already been moved out. There weren't many to begin with. There were some. They had already been moved out. So it gets a little deeper than this. Okay, Brian, that's a nice theory. Do you have any more evidence of this? Well, actually, I do. It's called the Social Security Death Index. You could look up 10 relatives of yours that have passed, and they'll all come up in the Social Security Death Index. So after 9/11 happened, a few things happened. Well, a lot of us started to dig around in the Social Security Death Index, and a lot of us started to look through the victims' memorials, CNN Memorial online, Voices of September Memorial online, and boy, were there some issues. So if you were to look up the victims of 9/11 in the Social Security Death Index, you would come back with about 2,600 people that don't exist, no record of them at all. So these are the same people that there's no video footage of coming out of the towers. We have fake footage of the planes. But then people will just say, well, Brian, what about the firefighters? They must have died. That's just emotional attachment. There is no evidence of any of that. So one of the things that happens is when you start to realize some of these things are going on, you get other theories tossed at you. Like, okay, first thing Rudy Giuliani does when he comes out after 9/11, you know, you're expecting him to say something powerful to the families and everything. First thing he does is come out and address the lack of debris. And he throws this story at you how it all got shipped out to China and you know, or the landfill, wherever they said they sent everything. And then some of the steel was shipped off to China was the story after. And that's why there was this lack of debris. Now, people in the conspiracy communities, they'll tell you other things. They'll tell you, well, it was a directed energy weapon, Brian. And clearly everything that was inside the contents of the towers got completely evaporated in this manner that we've never seen. But that's what happened. Oh, Brian, mini nukes went off. They said this guy Dmitry Kalasov's theory, and the other one was Judy Wood, obviously. But mini nukes, they put mini nuclear devices in the building and just obliterated everything. There's even ones that say there's like a spacecraft that shot a laser down and obliterated everything. Well, no, that's not what happened. The lack of debris was because the buildings were basically a shell with mostly all vacant floors. And that's why this, if you do look at the debris pile in the early on pictures, The lack of everything is amazing. There's not thousands of miles of phone cord. There's not thousands of safes, thousands of vending machines, tens and tens of thousands of desks. Where is all this stuff? It's not in there. It didn't just evaporate. It didn't get blasted from space. The contents and the debris pile are so lacking because they simply weren't in the building. They never finished building the building in the way that people think, and they never furnished it because it didn't have tens of thousands of people in there. And then, as you go even further and you look into the victim memorials online, you just see absolutely nothing but cloned and photoshopped victims all throughout this fakery. So this is something that triggers a lot of people, but I'm here to tell you that you don't need to live in fear over 9/11. Now, the government, I'm not sticking up for the government or the media. The media is the worst thing that's ever happened. But they don't just mass murder people in broad daylight.
We're talking with Ryan Stavely on the Power Hour. This is a lot to think about. Put your thinking caps on and join us after the break as we go back and speak with Ryan Stavely, and we'll take your calls about 9/11. It's the Power Hour. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.